Good morning, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler.
Yep.
I'm putting something in my Bible here, so I'm looking down a little bit. But welcome and happy Sunday. We're glad to have you here. This is part of the Robert Schuler Ministries, a church with no walls. So we're thrilled to have you join us. Hopefully you're seeing this on our website. That's our number one choice, to have you go to our website and watch this. And it's drschuler.org, drschuler.org. Closed captioning spells it all out. So
yeah,
we
exactly.
always have to say that for those of you that aren't watching on there or don't have closed captioning. So anyway, glad to have you all here.
So let us begin with a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares, a God who loves, a God who leads, a God who is in control. And so it is to you that we come and we pray. We pray for our nation that you will bring us peace and you'll bring us unity. We pray for our families, that you will bring them a clarity of vision and understanding, that you will bind them together with your love. We pray for our communities, that they will continue to live in freedom and joy. And so guide us, O Lord, and guide our leaders, and may we continue to be understanding of who you are and follow your will for our lives. We love you, Lord. We praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. So you have a couple of current event things. We
do
that in our live church now at 10 a.m. Pacific here in Newport Beach. We have about 5 or 10 minutes where Robert shares on a current event. And then, of course, we have a biblical message. And the current events always have something to do with the Bible, because everything in life has something to do with the Bible.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the current event this week happens to be the new COVID variant. It's being dubbed the election variant. You heard
right.
that?
Mm-hmm.
The election variant, because it coincides very much with elections. And so what is happening is different institutions are reinstating the mask mandates. And the mask mandates are the ones that were originally proposed and brought up to Fauci, who said, oh no, masks don't work. Then he changed his tune and said, oh, masks work. And then there's no definitive studies to masks. And so as a result of that, you've got over 100 colleges that are now having mask mandates. Kaiser Permanente is implementing mask mandates. There are different states that are moving towards that direction. And here in California, we will be one of the first that will institute some kind of a mask mandate in public places, because that's the way California is. It is, let me say it. What's the best way to say it? They don't encourage freedom. They don't encourage freedom. And they don't believe in my body, my choice, except for when it comes to abortion, in which case they have no protection for the body of the child. But here in the state of California, we have abortion, full term abortion. It is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life, but that is the law in the state of California. There's already two states have already come out in the state and said, we will not enforce any mask mandates whatsoever. In fact, we're going to only allow mask freedom in all institutions. And that happens to be the states of Texas and Florida. You probably could have guessed that if you've been paying attention to news and media.
Well, what about the Cochrane collaboration?
So,
were you going to say anything about
that? I am.
Okay.
Actually, here is the Cochrane collaboration.
Hey, on it.
I am. It has been trusted by mainline medicine forever. and they consider it almost gospel. What this Cochrane study did is it took 78 peer-reviewed studies on masking and concluded the and came up with the following conclusions. Here's the physical interventions. Here's the article that they wrote. Physical interventions to interpret or reduce the spread of viruses. And this is their report about masking. And here's what they said in that report. It says wearing masks in the community probably makes little or no difference to the outcome of influenza-like illnesses, specifically COVID-19-like illnesses, compared to not wearing masks. Wearing masks in the community probably makes little or no difference to the outcome of laboratory-confirmed influenza, SARS-CoV-2, compared to not wearing masks. That's the outcome of that study.
Since you can actually look this up. It's online. Cochrane collaboration, and then you go into
the... It's about an 80-page report, which goes into all of the, and there's another, which goes into all of the different 78 studies they looked at the time. And this Cochrane report is over a year old now. So nothing has changed since then, except there's another report that came out that wasn't reported on. And that happens to be a report that came out on March 2nd of this year. And it was done by Helion, which is, again, one of the main medical model reporting systems and research institutes. And what it came out was, this article said the possible toxicity of chronic carbon dioxide exposure associated with face mask use, particularly in pregnant women, children, and adolescents. And it's a complete review. And in their review, they came out with two quotes that I'm going to pull out for you. And again, if you want to read the whole review, you can look it up online. They're available. They want people to read these things. So fresh air has around 0.04% CO2. While wearing masks more than 5 minutes bears a possible chronic exposure to carbon dioxide of 1.41 to 3.2% of the inhaled air. U.S. Navy toxicity experts set the exposure limits for submarines carrying a female crew to 0.8 CO2. So we're talking if you wear a mask, you're up to five times that level.
What the U.S. Navy recommends is being...
32 divided by 8 is what?
four. Yeah.
So it's four times. You can have up to four times the allowed limit that the U.S. Navy considers safe. And it goes on to talk about how it literally kills cells. And then there's one other conclusion that I'm going to share with you. And again, I could say so much more about this. It goes on and says there is a possible negative impact risk by imposing extended mask mandates, especially for vulnerable subgroups. Circumstantial evidence exists that extended mask use may be related to current observations of stillbirths and to reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performances in children born during the pandemic. A need exists to reconsider mask mandates.
So what are you going to do?
So I'm just saying that...
I'm asking people, what are you going to do if they try this again?
Well, I know for me personally, for Don and I both, we objected and we protested and we went to extreme lengths not to wear a mask because we felt like it was an infringement upon our freedoms. And we knew the science was there that masks are not there to stop viruses in any way, shape, or form. they're there to stop, like people, I mean, why do doctors wear it in surgery then? They do it so they don't accidentally drool in
spit or runny spit nose in, into an open surgery.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it's for. It's not to stop viruses. It's never been. In fact, originally, when they first made these masks, there was a warning right on it that said, does not stop viral transmission. And yet
they took that off, though.
They took it off. They took it off because of the CDC promoting the masks. So that's our unfortunately,
that's the current event.
That's the current event for today.
Live from church. Yeah. You can't. You know what? If your pastor doesn't tell you about this stuff, the truth of what's going on, who's going to tell you? You're certainly not going to get it from any of the mainline news media, which we don't watch at all. But, you know, if you have social media, there's always things that come in to different sites and you get little blurbs and articles, and when they come up and when they interest us, then we go and we research it. That's the thing. Use your brain, people. Use your brain. I like what Dennis Prager said in something I listened to through Prager University the other day, and he said, people will trust what they read in the media, whatever they hear, more than they trust their gut and their own eyes, what they see and what they know. They will trust that, and it, you know, I think that's probably more prevalent now since the original lockdowns in 2020, because there's an atmosphere of fear like I've never seen it in my life. The first go-to, the first default emotion people have, this is what I've witnessed. It doesn't matter what the subject is. The first default is that of fear. Oh, no. Oh, no. What do I do? What's going to happen? What about my family? What about this? What about my livelihood? You know, that should not be your first default. Your first default should be going straight to God, straight to Jesus, right into prayer, and using your brain and finding out for yourself. Because, you know, that's the thing about living in a society where we're overly safe. You know, everything, you know, the size of the steps have to be a certain way. They have to be
and
I mean, the stoplights and the this and the that, everything is, you know, safety is great. Don't get me wrong. But what happens is we become a society that sits there and waits for somebody to tell us what to do in order to be safe. What is your least favorite salutation that people say?
Hey, stay safe.
Yeah.
I give people a hard time about that. I always say, no, thanks. I'm going to have fun. or something like that. I'm going to enjoy life.
Yeah. Stay safe.
No, thanks.
Yeah, pay attention. How many people say, stay safe? They didn't used to say that to us in 2019. Once in a while, if you're going on a long trip, you know, have a safe trip or something like that. But now it's normal to hear somebody say, stay safe, instead of have a great day, or I hope you have a great time, or enjoy yourself, or, you know, I mean, have fun. There's lots of different ways you can say goodbye to somebody.
God has built his body just amazingly so, in that our bodies have a natural ability to keep ourselves safe. If you want to keep your body healthy, the most important thing you can do is give your body the nutrients it needs to stay safe and stay away from toxins. We have toxins in almost all of our foods. So you just have to avoid processed foods as much as possible. Eat organic foods as much as possible. Then take supplements to supplement your diet so you get enough vitamins and minerals. And that is the number one thing you can do. If you want to stay safe,
That's how you stay safe. Avoid excess, you know, chemicals like even alcohol.
Yeah.
People who drink too much get sick.
Yeah.
So,
that's enough of that. Let's read our scripture for
today. Okay. Today's scripture is from Leviticus. That's a fun word to say. It's in the Old Testament. And I'll be reading from Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourself. I am the Lord your God. When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned up. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and it will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because they have desecrated what is holy to the Lord, and they must be cut off from their people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by the name and so profane the name of your God. By my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this, these reminders. You know, these are many things that come right out of your Ten Commandments, Lord. And sometimes we forget. It's so easy to forget. It's especially easy to do things like get angry with our neighbor or hold on to a grudge because somebody has hurt us or offended us. Lord, help us remember that, you know, Jesus endured much, and anything we're going through is to be taken as lessons, and lessons for growth, lessons for growth in wisdom and knowledge and opportunities to grow closer to you. Because Lord, we have a choice every day, which road we're going to take. Are we going to go follow you? Are we going to go to the left? Are we going to the right? And it tells us in the Bible that as a tree grows, whatever way it's leaning, when it falls, that's the way it'll fall. Which way are we falling? Lord, help us to fall the right way. Help us to fall into your arms. Help us to know that being holy is a great call. And it's a great thing to aim for, Lord, to aim towards goodness and righteousness and truth. And help us to help those who are suffering, who are less fortunate. Help us not to be greedy people, to hold on so that we don't lose. Sometimes we hold on so tight that we're giving up blessings that are waiting for us. So Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for casting anything evil from us far, far away. And thank you for helping us cling to what is right, to what is good, to what is merciful. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going right into the offering. So this is a church service. And yes, we support this ministry from your tithes and offerings. Many of you watching already support us. We thank you. We couldn't do what we do without you. If you'd like to give to this ministry, if you have prayerfully considered it, if you feel a calling on your heart, please do so. You can do it a couple different ways. The first thing we want you to do is go to our website, even if you're not going to give an offering, but go to our website, drschuller.org, drschuller.org, and you'll see a way to watch the church services on there. And we only come on live, and you'll see a screen if we're not live, but you can also give there. So if you go to drschuller.org, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says, I'd like to give. So what you do is you click on that. takes a few minutes to take you through some prompts, and you can give that way. If you feel so called, please give a recurrent offering so that it helps the church budget a little bit more as far as our expenses go. No amount is too small or too large. So yeah. We thank you for what you're able to give. Another way you can give is you can write to us. And again, if you go to drschuller.org, drschuller.org, and scroll all the way to the bottom of that homepage, you'll see our address. And our mailing address is Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, if you scroll to the bottom of drschuller.org, you'll see that. And then there's one other way. Would you like to share the other way people like to give?
We also have a Venmo account, and you can give through Venmo. Mm-hmm. In fact, here's a QR code for our Venmo.
That's a
QR code for Venmo.
That's our Venmo. Boy, he's really getting techie here. So if you take your phone and open your camera, most of you know how to use QR codes now. You just click on that. If you're watching right now on your phone, you can do it later. You can, whatever you'd like to do, but it's Robert Schuller Ministries. There's a picture of each of us on there. So
the reason I like to show this, if you go to Venmo, you'll know if it doesn't look like that, then you're not sending it to the Robert Schuller Ministries. Mm-hmm. You're sending it to some other Robert Schuller or something else. So
Robert Schuller Ministries, three words, and whatever you're able to get.
And if you Google Robert Schuller Ministries, it'll take you to all the different things that we do. Mm-hmm. It is all with our YouTube. We have close to a thousand videos on YouTube, and you can subscribe to us there. You can subscribe to our different platforms. Mm-hmm. And if they ever get taken down, most of the programs we have, most of the worship services and most of the things we do, we put on our podcast. And I don't think any of that has ever been taken down. We're on all the different platforms. And
Robert Schuller Ministries, yep, podcast.
Exactly. Just again, search Robert Schuller Ministries, and you'll be able to find most everything we can, at least in audio, if the videos are taken down.
And while you're Googling, find my book, Fearless Women by Donna Schuller. And all you have to do is type that into the, your search bar, and it'll come up. It's available on Amazon. All the money goes into the ministry. And more than that, you need to buy this book because it will transform your negative emotions into positive realities. I really open up and share a lot about my past and how I wasn't always a fearless person. You'll learn a lot about me, a lot about Robert and I. And more importantly, it's 40 days to transformation. There's prayer at the end. There's scripture in the beginning of every chapter, the 40 chapters. There's prayer at the end and a place to ponder. There's some questions where you can ponder your own life and grow closer to God, learn more about yourself, learn more about others, and just grow in your faith. So please do go and order a book. I think they're $20. We don't do any of the accounting. It goes right into an account, and it goes into an Amazon account, and then it goes right into the Robert Schuller Ministries bank account. And we just make sure it's there every few months. Yeah. And so anything.
What do they put it in
give,
every 2-3 months?
I think.
I don't know. But anyway, if you are coming to our church service, our live church service this morning in Newport Beach, I want to let you know that you need to take a roundabout way to get there. You have to go in through the Bristol parking lot.
Bristol Farms Market
parking lot.
Off Coast Highway.
And up through the library that way. Mm-hmm. You can figure it out. It's not too difficult.
No.
But it is just a little bit of a detour because the main street to our art center today is closed due to a walk that they're having. So anyway, just want to let you know to take that little detour. With that, I think I'll give my morning message, okay? Because I do that every single morning. Every single Sunday morning. I guess I could do it every morning if I was so motivated. But that would be a little difficult, to say the least. I just, not quite capable of doing that. Meanwhile, I'm in the process of writing a book on the gods of the woke. And I am excited to say that I'm making some progress on that book. It's probably a year or two away from actually coming out, but I'm hoping it'll be done by this time next year. That's my goal. And because what we're talking about today is being holy. And if we're set apart for greatness, it means we are being set apart is what the word holy means. If you define holy, it means being set apart. And we are set apart for greatness. God wants you to be the greatest you that you can possibly be. And in order to do that, you need to become holy. You need to be set apart. You can't follow the ways of the world. You can't be just following everybody else and expect to meet and experience greatness. That isn't how greatness is accomplished. Greatness is by you swimming upstream. It means going in a different direction. It means doing things that other people just didn't know how to do, didn't dare to do. And it means doing things differently. And today, if you want to experience greatness, you want to swim against the stream, you want to do something different, all you have to do, and I'm sorry to say, all you have to do is follow the Ten Commandments, because that goes against almost all grains that current society, the world, so to speak, wants to push us down. That is the stream they are pushing us in, and that is what they want us to do. So they want everyone to choose one of their genders, of which there are eight. And this is literally required education in the public school systems in California. In the elementary school, starting with kindergarten through 12th grade, it is required that the schools in public school systems teach eight genders. It's called the genderbread person. And it's ridiculous, but it's their way of grooming people. But the Bible, if you follow the Bible, you go completely against that trend, because the Bible tells us there are two genders, male and female. Male and female, God created them. And again, if you want to be holy, if you want to experience greatness, if you want to be set apart from the crowd, follow the dictates of the Bible. And what will happen is not only will you obtain greatness, but you'll obtain joy and you'll experience life to the fullest, because that's what God intended with the Ten Commandments and with his laws that he has given to us in the Bible. His Ten Commandments are there not to restrict us, not to keep us from having fun, not to keep us from experience of the fullness of life, but just the opposite. And why is that? Because the Ten Commandments, the Bible, gives us solid boundaries. And people get hurt. They fail to be able to realize how much they can experience life if they do not have solid boundaries. And where do you put your boundaries? If you do, well, I feel like my boundary should be here. Why in the world would you do something just because you feel some way? God, the creator of this whole universe, the creator of everything, gave us these boundaries because he created it. He knows what they are. This is ancient wisdom that has been developed through eons of time. And when we go against that current and follow the ways of the world, what we do is we become evil, in that we are no longer following God's laws, but we're following man's laws. We're following the gods of the woke, as opposed to the God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth. In the Ten Commandments, God said, "I am the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt." And if you want to expand upon that, he is the Lord who saves us. He's the ones who brings us out of slavery. He's the one who brings us out of turmoil and distress and grief, and he is our Savior. This is the Lord. In our scripture reading this morning, we are reading from Donna. I had Donna read from Leviticus, and I did that because it's part of our lectionary in the Reformed Church of America, which I'm a member, and I've committed to going through this lectionary, and so I'm doing it. And it happened to be Leviticus 19, 1 through 18 is my assigned scripture for today. And I can tell you this, that this is a beautiful passage for us today and where we find ourselves as a society and a culture, because it is more difficult and more obvious than ever that we need to separate ourselves from the world. What do I mean by that? The Bible is from a sexuality standpoint is very clear. There is only one form of sexuality that is considered sacred and holy and honored by God. That is sex between a man and woman in the bonds of marriage, period. Consensual sex between a man and a woman in the bonds of marriage. All other sex is considered a sin in the eyes of God. He doesn't want any other kind of sex to participate. And in the Ten Commandments, the way he describes that is adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Excuse me, a little cough. And the reason I bring that up is that happens to be the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not mentioned in our scripture reading this morning from Leviticus. And if you want to go and read Leviticus 19, 1 through 18, what you'll read is, first of all, if you read the entire chapter of Leviticus 19, what you'll read is over 15 times God says, I am the Lord. And he says it in different ways. And he says it in ways to embrace and to empower and to expand upon his connection with you. I am the Lord. He says it over and over and over again, which is exactly what he did with Moses in the Ten Commandments. And in the Ten Commandments, we have the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. And when he says, I am the Lord, it's basically saying that commandment. So over and over again, he's saying, I am the Lord. So if I am Lord, you have no other gods before me. Then he says, then he goes on and he says, you shall not make graven images. He says that in verse 4. That's commandment number 2. Commandment number 3 is, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He says that in verse 12. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. Then number 4 is to honor the Sabbath day. And in verse number 3, he says, you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Remember, he says, I am the Lord. Then he says, I am the Lord your God. Then later he says, I am the Lord your God who saves you. And that's an important thing to realize, because I love this illustration of, you go before, you are told that you have to follow some rules. And first the king says, I am the king, so you have to follow this. Secondly, he expands upon that and he says, I am your king, so follow these rules. And thirdly, he says, I am your king who saved you, saved your family, and saved your village, so follow these rules. Every time they're ramping it up, developing a connection with the people and with the relationship. And as a result of that, suddenly our hearts are inclined and motivated to follow the rules which that king gives us, because he is the king that saves. And that's what God is saying throughout this 19th chapter of Leviticus. I am the Lord. I am your Lord. I am the Lord who saves you. So follow these rules. Why? Not because I want to restrict you or keep you from having fun. I want to protect you so that you can experience life and experience to its fullness. And emphasize that beyond the Ten Commandments, he goes through all 10 of the commandments in this passage of Scripture. But beyond that, he gives us societal commandments, and he encourages us, first of all, take care of your health and your body. Don't eat spoiled food. Remember in the time of Leviticus, when Jesus was, when these words were being written by God, there was no such thing as refrigeration. There wasn't any way of preserving food. And so after 2 days, food spoiled. So you go, okay, let's not eat spoiled food. And God says, so don't eat food that was sacrificed or killed 3 days ago or cut 3 days ago. Eat fresh food. Eat it fresh. And then he goes into the whole idea of self-satisfaction and the whole idea of charity and the joy that we receive when we give, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that's what the whole next passage is all about, where don't go through and take everything out of the fields. Leave some for the poor and for the foreigners who don't have work and don't have anything. God cares for the least of these, and he gives them provision. Then he goes on to say, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive, do not bear false witness, do not defraud your neighbor, do not hold back wages of a hired worker overnight, which I consider is basically relevant to the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet what your neighbor has and what is his things. And then he says something really interesting. Be kind. Just be kind to people who are disabled. Don't sit there and be mean. Be kind. Is the scriptures relevant for us today? And I believe there's no scripture that isn't relevant to today, but some speak louder and are more resounding than others. And in verse 15, it says, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. When we look at what's taken place this past week and what's taking place in the society of America today, I think these words shout to us. They shout loudly to us, do not pervert justice. And I could go into a whole commentary of what happens when justice is perverted. And I think you can read a lot of those online, but just know this, that God is witnessing everything that is taking place in the United States of America. God knows what's taking place in the judges who are using their power and their position to influence elections, to influence people, and not to use their platform and their position to create a society that is safe from criminals and that is safe for mankind to do their business and to be productive citizens. Do not pervert justice. And then finally, this passage of scripture ends with, love your neighbor as yourself, which brings us right to the heart of all of the laws that we have from God. You know, we have the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And throughout Exodus, we get more instructions and more guidance as to how we are to live our lives. And throughout Leviticus, we get more. And Deuteronomy, and throughout the first five books of the Old Testament is called the Pentateuch, which means the five books of law. And throughout that, we get all these different laws. But you can take all of those laws and pull it right down to this particular verse. Jesus was being tested by a rabbi, and the rabbi was actually trying to trick Jesus into saying something that they could use against him. And the rabbi turned to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, what is the greatest of the commandments?" And without hesitation, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he is quoting here from Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. So here we have all the law of the prophets, all the laws of the Pentateuch, all the laws of society, all the laws of culture bound into these words, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we focus on love, we will discover that the rest take care of itself. I like Galatians 5, where St. Paul goes in and he's talking about how the law condemns us. Every single one of us have been condemned by the law. We cannot do enough to save ourselves by following the law. That's what he says in Galatians 5. He says, in fact, and he talks about a sinful nature. The sinful nature is obvious, and he goes through the list of obvious sinful nature. But the fruit of the Spirit, which is that which, which separates us from the world and that which creates greatness, the fruit of the Spirit is, and the first one he has, there's nine fruits. The first one is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the nine fruits of the Spirit. But the first one is love, because that is the foundation. And later Paul says, there abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If we want to stand out and we want to, which is being holy, if we want to be holy, if we want to attain greatness, we do it first and foremost with love. St. Paul said to St. Timothy, "I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." And with that, we continue to make decisions that are going to be good for our bodies, that is going to be good for our health, is going to be good for humanity, it's going to be good for our communities, and is not necessarily going to follow the God of scientism, but it is going to follow the rules of God. If it's not a violation in the Bible, chances are it's nothing you have to follow. The Bible takes place over everything else. I'm not telling you to go and run stop signs. I'm not telling you not to fulfill the laws of the state. But there's a difference between laws and declarations by the CDC. The CDC does not have the power to make declarations of law. What they're doing is they can simply make recommendations. It's up to us as individuals to use our brains, to use our minds, and to make the decisions that are going to help us prosper in the ways of God. It may be totally, maybe a completely set apart situation for us, like the Amish. We're completely set apart from society. I hope it doesn't come to being that separated between the awake and the asleep or the woke. And I could go into that, but I'm afraid our time is up for today. But listen to my messages. I've talked about a lot of this in the past, and I'll continue to declare it because God wants to give us freedom. He wants us to experience life and to experience to the fullest with safe, solid boundaries so we have much greater freedom to live this life today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that you love us, that you care about us. You are the God who delivers us out of bondage and slavery. You're the God who saves us and brings us your hope, your love, and your peace. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. You're lying down and you're rising up in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Have a great day and a great week, and I'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.